Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 286 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyler, your host once again. And once again, my guest is Sam Malai. Now, if you've been listening to this program before, you know that Sam is a returning champion. He was on episode 188, as well as episode 257. So this makes his third appearance on Law Entrepreneur. And Sam is an attorney who lives out in Los Angeles and has an interesting approach to the practice of law. He actually runs 7 different virtual law firms. So not 7 different practice areas, but 7 different law firms. And now they are largely, if not exclusively, virtual. We've talked about how he does that in the past episodes. And one of the things that he relies upon heavily is automation. And I asked Sam to come back on the program today because he uses a lot of tools that I do not. I'm completely in the tank for Apple. So that guides a lot of my decision-making in terms of what tools to use. Sam, although he does use Apple products, is a little more broad-minded than me and has done a lot of work with other tool sets and integrations to make his law firms hum with automated tasks. So I thought he'd be a great one to have on to talk about what he's using, what his top 5 tools are, top 5 game changers. And I think you'll find this to be an interesting discussion. So without any further delay, here is Sam Malai. Sam Malai, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much, Neil. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm looking forward to spending some time again with you. Sam's been on the program before, but for the benefit of those who weren't with us in the past, Sam, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
So I'm an attorney, but I'm on more on the business side of creating a bunch of virtual law firms. I basically figure out how to get clients for law firms online and be able to systematize the entire law firm so that the law firm can run on its own. And I was able to duplicate this over and over. Currently, I have about 7 automated virtual law firms, and I also teach other lawyers to do the same.
You know, I've been meaning to ask you about that because I've heard you say that before, that you have 7 virtual law firms. So instead of setting up a separate practice area, you set up a separate law firm.
It's
essentially right.
Correct. It's different. It is, each of them for the most part are different practice types. And they're not typically the typical practice types. They're very niche based blue ocean practice types that I find. And usually when I say 7, most people don't believe me. Like, what are you talking about? How do you have 7? But I do. And the reason why I do and the reason why I can is because I kind of figure out the formula. And essentially, once you figure it out, it's the same thing over and over.
You live by the mantra that a lot of people espouse, and that is to niche down until you find a small enough or discrete enough or a unique enough practice area or focus that you are, you know, the big fish in a small pond. And having done that, then you adhere to the second principle that we're going to talk about here shortly, and that's maximize the use of automation and virtual support such that each of these separate law firms, you know, run independently and you're able to oversee all of that.
Exactly. For lawyers, pretty much the client sources for the most part come from one of 2 sources. I will touch upon that a little bit. I just make sure that we get leads from that one source. Then we have a team who's signing up the clients. And then we have a team who's serving the clients. And then we have a team for collecting reviews. And then just pretty much set that up. Make sure we get clients, make sure we sign them up, make sure they're being served, make sure we get reviews, and then do that over and over.
Rinse, wash, and repeat, right?
Yep. Yep.
So before we dive into some of the tools that we're going to be talking about, let's talk about, you said that in addition to those firms that you manage, that you've built and created, you also provide training opportunities and coaching for other attorneys to learn how to do the same. Tell us a little bit about your workshops, your programs, and your platforms, and all those things that go into helping others.
Sure. So there are a lot of other programs out there that teach concepts and things about how to get clients. But my thing, how mine is different, is these are practical things that I'm applying today. And a lot of these things do change over time. You know, what worked 6 months ago or even a couple of years ago doesn't work as well as now. But because I'm a practicing business side of like running and getting clients for these law firms, you know, there's very practical things that I do that I share that inside our program. The program is called Legal Funnel. It was, again, the whole vision is take everything that I'm currently doing and pass that on. Very, very super practical. And Neil was part of the program, so he could attest to how practical that was. Yep. You know, sharing the Google Sheets and sharing exactly where, you know, what's happening and behind the scenes and passing it on. And I think one of the benefits, once you see it, you know, how I was able to do it, it kind of opens up your own vision of like, hey, maybe I could apply this for myself in my own way. So I do teach all types of lawyers from all practice types, PI, estate planning, family law, you know, whatever you can think of. And I try to teach things in principle understanding so that way you can go and apply it for yourself. And I basically, the way when I kind of created the program from scratch, so I had to figure out how am I going to be able to pass this off to other lawyers. So I created a online coaching program, a group coaching program, where I basically have modules, very specific focused modules on the different aspects of getting clients, running the law firm, automating it, getting reviews, all that stuff. And we basically, there's videos, there's worksheets, and then we also meet in a group setting to be able to finish applying and be able to get success together.
Well, let's answer the $64,000 question here first. How does one go about learning more about legal funnels and your group coaching opportunities?
Sure. So we do have a Facebook group called Legal Funnel Members. If you just search for it instead of Facebook, you'll be able to join our Facebook group. I try to add as much value as I can. I've noticed myself being so busy with actually getting these law firms up. So in the past couple of months, I'm like, there's been a lot of action. Just like two or three law firms that have been able to launch the last 3 months while our Facebook group doesn't even know what's going on. So that we're inside of there. But also if you just search on Google for Legal Funnel, then be able to learn more about the program, be able to talk to us and be able to tell you actually more details about the program. You know, the vision that I'm building out, again, this is everything that I'm doing, a lot of behind the scenes stuff for myself. So thankfully I'm okay. You know, I think, you know, thank God I have, you know, I have my business down, but everything that I teach is literally just is a venue for me to be able to just give. I'm a giver by nature. If you ask my high school students, my middle school friends, you could ask them. I've always shared notes, my outlines and everything. Just been people asking them. So I'm just grateful that I have a place where I'm able to share and pass that on to other people. So
let me give some first hand testimony to that effect too, you know, because I've worked with a lot of folks, a lot of coaches and a lot of people who are providing coaching services to attorneys. And, you know, there's all different methods and strategies and approaches to providing that kind of resource. But I think what's fairly common amongst most of them is they give you the broad sense of what's going on and some details in some areas. And, you know, it's really helping to guide you to discover on your own in some kind of structured way that which is necessary to build your firm. I will tell you that Sam's program, while you get all of that, that's true. When he says he gives stuff away, it's unbelievable what he gives away in terms of content. There is so much content in the Legal Funnels program. And look, Sam and I don't have a relationship other than being friends here. So I'm not getting anything for promoting this, but he really, you'll get Google sheet after Google sheet after list examples, things you can take turnkey, ads that you can just substitute a different picture for, all the copies done for you. I mean, it's incredible how much you provide in your program, Sam.
Practical, right?
Very practical. None of it's fluff. None of it's, just theoretical. It's all the things that one needs to know.
Yeah. And trying to make it as easy as you said, like a lot of Google Sheet templates and things like that, if I were a way that could easily pass it on to you guys, that's what I try to do.
I'm going to, I keep saying before we get into the discussion that we're here for, I want to ask you one real quick question, because I know in the Legal Funnels program, Facebook advertising is a very key component to drive people to the ClickFunnels landing pages or the Legal Funnel landing pages. What have you seen? Because you're as tuned in to the Facebook advertising world as anybody. What have you seen over the last 6 months? What changes have you seen? What are you anticipating in that world?
Sure. So there were some changes. What Neil is referencing to is these iOS update changes, which is basically Apple cares more about privacy for their customers' privacy. So they started asking people to give express consent for them to be tracked online. So that's on one end. But on the other end is these marketers and advertisers and business owners who are using that data to go get those clients. So big picture is, yes, there was some tapering off, percentage that hurt it, but it completely did not eliminate it. People always find a way around it. So I was actually calling this out a year ago. I did a training about Facebook ads and versus Google ads and things like that. And I called out and I had this epiphany where I basically realized that you don't, back in the day when Facebook when Facebook ads was very popular, people would say, hey, you can use this targeting to specifically go target people. And then about a year ago, I did a test where I had specific targeted campaigns and I also had completely broad campaigns. This is just, let's just say, I want to say, show this ad to everybody in California. And then when I ran that test about a year ago, all of a sudden I started seeing like much lower cost per lead and then much lower cost per acquisition. So I'm like, what the hell's going on? So what I found out is I had a theory that Facebook knows us so well that you don't even have to give targeting to people. Facebook just knows based on, your Facebook profile, exactly what car you drive and how many people you are in your family, because they could see, Facebook can read your pictures and everything that you post, or even your statuses, they could read that. So based on that, you don't need to give it targeting. Facebook already knows. So when you put up this ad, they know who to target. So what that means is if you, these days, actually broad campaigns, just not giving any targeting to Facebook actually does the best.
It's interesting. And yeah. I should also point out that we hear a lot of folks talk in terms of digital marketing to make sure you do A/B testing and, test everything you possibly can. Nobody, and I mean nobody that I've seen, does the level of A/B testing that Sam has done. And I remember you showed the spreadsheet and there was something like 140 specific A/B tests that you had run. So what you were providing to your students was the results of all that. So why in the world would you ever want to reinvent that wheel and do 150 some odd, A/B tests on your own when Sam's already done them?
Yeah, exactly. And, so what Neil talked about is for a span of 3-4 years, every single month I try to basically test a part of this funnel. So what kind of headlines, what kind of images, what kind of color on your buttons and things like that. And every single month, at the time it didn't seem like that. It was a very small thing I had to do. I only had to do it once a month. And I just had to record it. But after 3 years or 4 years of doing that, then you see the result of that. And over time, all of a sudden I have the final version of what I know is should have give you the best chance of you generating clients for your law firm. And I passed it off. And I think I shared that. Once I shared that, I said, don't worry about all the stuff, the A-B test that I did. You know, you don't need to go through that. It's just, you get the final version of like what I learned based on that. And not just that, that was one sheet, right? And I also had another sheet, which I'm not sure whether I showed you, Neil, was, you know, studying hundreds of other marketers.
Yes.
And big successful people. And that was, you know, that's also very key too. You know, over time you pick up on some clues and some patterns on what's working, what's not. And I could actually share that with your audience. I want to share that. A couple of things that come to mind.
Yeah, sure.
So number one is less is more. Okay. Less is more. That means you want to say less. More you say, the more you could basically be used against you, you know, just like how you get caught, you know, let's say less. So I always look to see how can I say less, but say in a more potent way. Two is proof over promises. So the best funnels, things that I've seen, it's all proof. You're not going to say all the things that you're going to promise to your clients. Instead, just provide proof of all the things that you've done in the past for your past clients.
Yep.
So if you have testimonials, great. You take a screenshot or you show your screen. If you have video testimonials, great. You could also, you know, if you don't have a testimonials, you can also talk about a client, share a story. I was able to help John with his estate planning, and this I was able to save him a lot of money. So that is, if you just 80% of your funnel, if it's just proof, that works best. And third is people have to know you, your face and your story. That's very key. You know, if you're just hiding behind the screen and behind words, people don't know who this is. Who am I giving money to? So you have to, even though a lot of people, some people are introverts and things like that. I know it's what it's like. People have to know who you are. They have to hear from you. They have to see your face. They have to see you're talking. That actually makes a big difference. So all those A-B tests can be literally summarized into those three things. Say less, provide lots of proof, and make sure that people can see and hear you.
Again, that adage, people do business with those that they know, like, and trust. It also reminds me of that old joke when, in lawyers' terms, when somebody complained about the price that it was X number of thousands of dollars to write this document, but you only worked on it. You only wrote three paragraphs. And I said, well, yes, but it was the thousands of hours I spent learning which three paragraphs to write.
Exactly. Especially these days, nobody has time.
No.
Time becomes more and more limited.
All right. Yeah. So one of the things that I think Sam is an absolute genius at is automation in the legal space. And I will admit my own bias, as everybody knows on this program, I'm an unabashed Apple fanboy. I very rarely venture into other parts of the pool. So there's a lot of tools and products that people use that I simply bring my own self-bias to and ignore. And that's kind of a disservice to most of my audience because not everybody is as passionate about Apple products as I am. So one of the reasons I wanted Sam to come and chat with us today is to talk about some of the tools that he uses. And true to form, he's whittled that down to a couple of dozen tools here. And Sam, I'll let you start, you know, pick one that kind of central to your operation and just tell us a little bit about how you use it and why it's useful.
Yeah. So as you shared, you know, the same way that you're fanatic with Apple, I'm a fanatic with tools and automation. So when I started this journey about 8 or 9 years ago of being online and using all these tools, I started compiling a list of tools that I saw. So, you know, if it was accounting, oh, I said, this is a cool tool. Put it, go ahead and add it to this Google Doc. So over time, I created a 15-page document and I shared this with our students full of these. It's probably at least 500 or 600 tools that are on this list. However, that list is overwhelming. Instead, I was able to narrow it down to 20. And then from that 20 also, there's some particular ones that I know from the ones that I passed on to our students, which are the biggest game changers. So the first one I think is the biggest game changer is called Loom, L-O-O-M, which is basically a video tool that you install on your computer that every time you give instructions to anybody, usually it's to your team, then you quickly, with two buttons, basically starts recording your screen and it pops a little video on the top right. By the way, you always want to take that video and put it on the top right, because whenever you're looking at your screen, you want your eyes to follow where the screen is. So yeah, just have that in mind. I see a lot of people using Loom and they put it on the bottom left. But anyways, records your screen, puts you on the top right, and you're able to quickly share those instructions, whatever you want them whatever you want your team to do. And once you click on end record, automatically Loom will create you a link that you can copy and paste and send to your team for them to do. So if I never need to give instructions or whatever, always use Loom.
When I followed your advice and when I went to the program, Sam made me go hire my first virtual assistant. Yes.
And how's that going?
It's great. I've gone through a couple ever since. And I have refined that process of using Loom as a tool to train the virtual assistant. So when I had to switch over, when one graduated and moved on to other things, I had a whole library of procedures on how to do exactly what they were doing so that the new virtual assistants could pick up that library and start right in. And as I added more tasks and responsibilities to the virtual assistant, the more comfortable I got with using them, the more I started adding to their list of things to do. And we would create a Loom video for every single thing, no matter how small. And it, I would agree with you, it's an absolute game changer.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by Center Stage and the Law Firm Marketing Minute, two great podcasts produced by Spotlight Branding. We're a legal marketing company providing content marketing for law firms that actually works. And we created these shows as a free resource to help lawyers like you learn more about marketing and business development. Every Monday, the Law Firm Marketing Minute arrives with a short 10-minute dose of marketing tips and inspiration to help you grow your firm. On Wednesdays, Center Stage arrives with perspective from other lawyers and legal industry experts to help you tackle marketing and other business development challenges. Check both of these shows out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and more. Both shows make great companions for the law entrepreneur, so subscribe today. Hope to see you there soon.
Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby. And allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details and communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle, staying top of mind without the stress.
Ready for number two, Neil?
Let's go. Yeah.
Number two is Slack, which is a communication tool between you and your team. And I'm sure, you know, some of you guys may already have Slack, and then some of you will be like, well, I don't have a team. Well, you should go create a team because you're not able to grow without a team. So what you do, you install Slack, even if, again, if you're on your own right now, still install it, go create it for yourself. You basically create a Slack workspace for your law firm. And then when you bring on virtual assistants to your employees, they each have their own Slack account and you're able to use Slack to communicate. And someone's going to be like, well, I use GChat for that. Well, the thing is, it's not about communication between you and other people. What if you want to communicate from a tool to you, for example, every time a retainer is signed, Do you want to get notified? Well, you could set that up so you can then get notified. But what if there is a Google Calendar? What if, you know, you want to be reminded that you have a meeting coming up in 5 minutes? Well, Slack will notify you. So it creates this little cool atmosphere for a way for people to be able to communicate with each other and for ways for other tools to be able to communicate with you. So I have all these automations and tools that every time a lead is signed up, we get notified. Every time we get payments, whenever we get a declined payment, our team is notified so that we're able to contact the lead right away. It pretty much creates this cool little world of your law firm running on its own when they're able to, people are allowed to communicate with each other.
I had this conversation with a local attorney here not too long ago who has made Slack the cornerstone of her law firm operations. And she refers to it as her operations control center, just like, you know, Houston down NASA. She thinks of Slack as the operations control center because all the communication is being done through Slack. All of the is completely replaced emailing amongst her team. And it's integrated with just about every other tool that she uses to operate her law firm in. So it really does become the hub of operations. Now, it's not her practice management software. That's something different. But oh, by the way, her practice managed software does communicate and integrate with Slack as well. So it becomes an extension of the practice management software and really does serve to control all the operations of the practice.
Exactly. Number three, ready?
Yep.
Number three is Google Workspace, which is basically Google Sheets and Google Docs. So I use Google Docs and Google Sheets for everything. Google Sheets is mostly for keeping track of stuff, tracking, keeping track of your leads, keeping track of your clients, keeping track of your numbers for your law firm. And then Google Docs is anytime I'm planning out anything or have my training manuals and things like that. I use those two tools to be able to collaboratively work on the same sheet with the rest of the people on my team. So my entire law firm's everything runs on Google Sheets, essentially. 80% of the law firm it's all like based in Google Sheets. Anybody can log in at any time. I could filter things out. I could create reports based on Google Sheets, and it's a game changer. So definitely not Microsoft Excel and Microsoft Word. You know, if anybody is, you know, you want to be able to collaboratively make changes and do things and share access and do all that stuff online. So that's the way to do it.
I think there is, to some extent, an age division here, because if you're old like me, even if you're a techie, your feet are firmly planted in the standalone application world. So standalone, well, for some, it would be Microsoft Excel or Apple Numbers or, you know, Microsoft Word or Apple Pages. But I will tell you, from all the younger attorneys that I work with or I've spoken with, and even my own children, they don't know anything about those applications. For them, everything is done in Google Sheets and Google Docs. And I mean, everything. So I think that's a natural fit for attorneys that, you know, fall into that demographic. Is really natural. And, you know, some of us old guys, we can learn from the younger ones. And so it really does stand to be a game changer, particularly from the collaborative perspective.
Exactly.
I mean, I will give Google credit there. They have the collaborative process down much better than most others.
Yeah. You know, the way I always try to think is whenever I'm doing anything, I'm not thinking about what's in it for me now. It's always ask, like, where am I heading to? Where am I going? And try to act that way. So if I know I'm going to be working with multiple people, you know, I don't have a team right now yet for people calling up the leads or doing things with these leads, but I know my law firm in a year, I just imagine it's going to have 10 employees and they're all going to need to work on this sheet. Then I need to set myself up for that situation. So have that in mind. I know it's not easy to make change, but always like think ahead, act like where you want to be in 12 months and you know, it pays off.
Yeah. Number four.
Number four. So we got on this list, Todoist. So everybody has a lot of things that they need to do on a daily basis. Right? Yeah. Right, Neil? Like,
for sure.
And then how do you keep track of that? I use Todoist, which is a software on your computer. Also, you install it on your phone to keep track of your tasks, your daily tasks. So every day when I log on in the morning, I know with clarity exactly what things I need to do. So I use it for to keep track of deadlines, to keep track of tasks. Also, I use it sometimes to be able to delegate things to my directors, for people who are kind of managing the rest of the operations. If I come up with an idea, I don't want to message them, you know, late at night, Saturday night. I just drop off that task in their Todoist. And then when they log on, they're able to see that. It's one of my productivity hacks, kind of thing, especially because I have so many things going on, you know, 7 different law firms and also other projects and other things, right, legal and all that stuff. And like, what's my secret sauce? Well, Todoist is one of my secret sauces to keep track of all those things that I need to do.
You know, I could do a whole show on task management. It's been one of my main concerns and to some degree, my biggest Achilles heel, because I've always wanted to have one single place to track all my tasks, mm-hmm. whether it be work related or personal or family related. I always wanted it in one spot, because if I had to go to multiple locations, I wasn't going to. It just wasn't going to work. And while I'm a huge advocate of Clio as a practice management tool, I can't keep my personal tasks in the Clio Task Manager. So I had to, you know, find that software platform for task management that would integrate with all of my devices and also play nicely with everything that has a scheduling aspect to it, like my practice management software. And I know Todoist does that. I actually use a product, kind of a crazy name, Things 3, mm-hmm. but it's a competitor of Todoist. And you've chosen it for very much the same reasons as you use Todoist. You have everything in Todoist, and it integrates nicely with all your other tools.
Exactly. And number 5, last one, one of my biggest secret sauces, I usually reveal this inside of our program, but you know, I might as well put it out there and give value to your audience, is Upwork, UPWORK. Upwork is the biggest freelance website online. It's a place for you where you could find virtual assistants, hire them, manage them, keep track of their time, pay them, all in one central place. This is my direct source of where I find my virtual assistants to run every part of my law firm. Very highest leverageable thing you can do for your law firm is hiring virtual assistants. We could have a whole show about virtual assistants, yeah, on all that stuff and things that I've learned from that experience. But there is, you know, at least you now know the source. If you want to learn how to use it, I do have free trainings. If you just go on YouTube and you search legal funnel, how to hire virtual assistants, I do have a very good, amazing training about this. And I leverage the hell out of, yeah, Upwork and just basically hire as many virtual assistants as I can. Should we talk about that, Neil?
Yeah, well, let me just interject my own personal experience here, because, you know, interviewing as many attorneys and entrepreneurs as I do on this program, you know, I've always been an advocate of virtual assistants and offloading as much work as you can. But I will personally, you know, admit to you, Sam, that was more talk on my part than action, because I wasn't there yet until you made me. And I remember the first module was go hire a virtual assistant. And it was like, well, I'm not sure that I have anything to hire. Just go hire one.
So let's talk about that. So what?
Yeah. You will figure out how to use it. And so I fully agree with you on Upwork. The experience using Upwork is unbelievable. From putting out the job description, they have some great folks there that will help you write it if you need to write it and help you tailor it to the audience that you're seeking candidates from. The way you go about getting inquiries and sifting through them and identifying who you might want to interview is very intuitive, very easy to manage. Then you can set up the interviews on Zoom right within Upwork. There's a chat function, there's messaging, and it could not be easier. And then when you hire them, put them under contract, all that's taken care of for you. and you pay them. They're all the stuff on the back end is taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. It is a brilliant platform. I'm not sure I'd have it down here at number five, Sam. I think I might have that as number one.
Yeah. I saved the best for last. I want to give something really, really, really high value to your audience. You know, and if you made it to this part of the to the podcast, you guys deserve to get this. This is literally one of my highest value things. And I haven't really shared this inside of a legal funnel yet, but me and my mentor were on a trip. And on the last day, we had a lot of hours to kill. So we went to the airport 6 hours early, went to the lounge, and we're just like, let's work. So while I was with him, like, let's put together a plan for a new law firm. So on just one paper, we basically, it was a law firm that we started a couple months ago, but we basically need to create the infrastructure for it. We're like, let's write out the plan for what we need to do. So the very first thing, and I actually have this opened up for myself, this is a one page, how to create a law firm in one page that I'm going to share with you. Wow. All right. So we first start off with the goal. The goal is 60 settlements per month. So whatever, what is the number one goal for your law firm? Okay. Let's just say, Neil, yours is, you know, whatever that is, 6 estate planning clients per month or whatever that is.
Exactly. Okay? There you go.
Okay. Perfect. And then you need to write what's the average per client. So, you know, for us is 60 settlements per month. That's about $3,000 on average by the date, by December 31st, 2021. That's the first line, just the goal, hard numbers. How many clients do you want? By when?
Measurable.
So if we need 60 settlements on our end, we need to be able to retain 120 to be able to settle 60. I mean, this is very specific to our thing, but you know, let's just say we have 120 clients retained is our goal. We know from our metrics and things that we already have done that we have a conversion rate of 6%. 6% of our leads that we get turn into clients. So if we need to get 120 clients with a 6% conversion rate, that means we need 2,000 leads per month to be able to get 120 clients retained per month. We also know our lead usually costs about $8. So if we need 2,000 leads at $8, that means we need to spend $16,000 per month to be able to retain 120 clients per month. Great? Great. So that's the goal. That's how much we have to spend on marketing. That's the first part, or actually the second part. The third part is what's the infrastructure to be able to accomplish this? So we built out like a dream team. So first we need a team, it's an intake team to be able to sign up the clients. So how many do we need? So we said that we need 6 VAs for this. And we split that up into 3 teams. So 6 VAs with 3 teams of 2. And then we need document collectors. So we need 1 document collector per team. So there's 3 document collectors in total. Then we need demand writers, 1 for each team. And we also have 2 attorneys. So we wrote out what we need, which is that's our team. Each team has their goal. So let's just say for the intake team, who's signing up the clients, they need to retain 40 clients per month per team. Okay. So every team has their goal. Intake team, 40 documents. We need 35 documents. We need 35 demands to be written. And then we need the attorneys to settle 30. And then another column is bonus. Somehow we need to incentivize them for them to hit their number one goal that each team has. And just from this, I was able to go on Upwork, hire the team for this that I just shared, and then share and then create a kind of like a manager or director, somebody who can hold everyone else accountable and make sure obviously we have our training and everything for how to do every single parts of this law firm. We give the goal, we share with our team. Go get it. You know what to do. Literally, this is like the quickest way to be able to get straight into, you know, growing a online law firm.
Well, that's tremendous value, as you said. And I'm going to point out that you also opened my eyes when we were talking about marketing, advertising. And one of the questions you asked very early was, you know, how much would you spend on advertising? And I remember you made this comment. What is the average value of a client to your law firm? So I said $3,500. He said, well, I would spend that every month. And my jaw fell on the floor. You'd spend $3,500 in Facebook advertising? And And you said, well, yeah, because if you get one client, you know, you're breaking even.
Which is good. It's a good thing.
Yeah. And but, it was just that kind of realization, because I think what most people do, and I count myself as one of them, that said, well, let me start off slow. Let me start off with a couple of $100. And then, you know, oh, gee, that didn't work. Right? All right, I'll bump it up, you know, $300, $300 a month in Facebook ad, $500 a month, you know. But Sam said, whatever your average cost is, I'd start with that. And every time I was successful, I'd double it or add another, you know, client value. So after I got two clients, I would then spend $7,000 a month. And after I got three clients, I would spend $10,500 a month. And I thought initially you were crazy. And the brilliance of that has shown through for me personally. And I just share that with our audience because, you know, if you doubt what Sam's talking about, I mean, there's a perfect example.
And the idea is you start with the end result first. You saw that? Like literally, yeah. We start out with the goal and we literally went backwards literally until most people start off from here. Let me hire somebody and then see what I can build up. Always, you know, look at the most successful people in the world, like Jeff Bezos. You know, he had this vision, grandiose vision. And, you know, he started with that. Elon Musk, he actually shared this. I don't know if you know about this, Neil. You know, it was, I don't know how many years ago. I'm assuming like 8-10 years ago, he put out his plan, his big vision. First, we're going to release the most expensive car that, you know, a small percentage of the population can afford. Then we're going to release a $100,000 car. Then we're going to release the, you know, the car that everybody can afford. And he literally set that out 10 years ago and even did it. So always work backwards. And I think, you know, you got to be open to change and be open to when somebody tells you something different, you got to be like, whoa, there could be something there. You know, don't right away. You know, most people, as soon as they hear something new, they like just start questioning and ask why. And then whenever I find it's okay, you know, everybody's like this, but if you're like too like hard-headed about it, you know, that's where most of the reason they don't grow. So you got to be willing to kind of open and kind of, you know, learn from anybody and try new things.
Well, I can certainly tell you that, you know, my first reaction is, well, if I had $3,500 to spend on Facebook advertising, I wouldn't be doing this program. You know, which is completely the wrong way to look at it. And, you know, it really opened my eyes and made that change for me. So I anticipate that if anybody is smart enough to follow up with you and go search for legal funnels on Facebook and become a part of that Facebook group and kind of get involved in the opportunities that you provide, the paid coaching and the other trainings that you offer, that they're going to have similar kinds of revelations in their own practice, and hopefully it'll be just as successful.
Yeah. And let me give you some motivation to your listeners too. A lot of people, sure. I feel like right now, they feel like things are uneasy because of, you know, C-19 and where we are in the economy. People are not signing for my service. Maybe it's late in the year. I want to kind of give you inspiration and tell you that we're currently still in a golden age of marketing, of running a law firm and all that stuff. It only gets progressively harder and harder. So right now it's still easy. I'm here to tell you it's easy. It's easier than you think. Again, obviously you have to learn things and apply things to get those results, but I could at least tell you it is easy. It is doable. Again, change your mindset, change your belief system. Don't think like, don't be in a limited scarcity. This is so hard. I don't know where I'm getting clients from. Be open, go learn from people that are already doing it, that are currently doing it, not have done in the past, and follow. I have a mentor. I have a very close mentor that I talk to on a daily basis. He helps me, you know, to find, you know, think outside the box, get me to do things outside of my comfort zone. Everybody needs that somebody outside of themselves who's willing to push them a little bit further, because you're by nature, humans are so limited in their own capacity. That's why, you know, depending on how religious you are, God believes that you need to be with somebody who can challenge you and make you a better person. I'm a strong believer of that. And same goes in business. You need a mentor. You need somebody that you can follow and kind of broaden your potential. So hopefully I'll be able to do that for other people, because, and I see the power in it for myself. I could definitely attest a lot of my, everything that I've done is thanks to my mentor, and I hope to be the same for other people as well.
Well, I hope they take you up on that offer. And let me ask you, one last question here. Are you still doing the morning walk videos?
Not as much, because I'm not walking to my office anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like dying to do more of those. I'm dying to do a lot more videos. I feel like I have to get out of my room. Hopefully we're trying to buy a home and have more space and have more light. I feel like I'm confined a little bit in here, but
so I'm not telling more videos. I'm not telling stories here, but Sam lives in LA, and he every morning would walk to work, walk to the office, and he would record a video. And that was as valuable as anything you offered. I got to the point where I would be walking along the road with Sam. Oh, there's the donut store. There's the dry cleaner.
I miss those so much. Every day eats me. Every day that I don't record videos eats me up. Do you know that, Neil?
You feel like you're being stifled, that you're not communicating.
Yeah, exactly.
So Sam, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with us again here on The Law Entrepreneur. I wish you all the best, you and your family, and that young one of yours who looks just adorable. And again, I couldn't be happier to have you on the program.
Appreciate you, Neil. Thank you so much. And yeah, please don't hesitate. If you're listening to this and you're still listening to this, please reach out to me or to our team. We'll be happy to kind of guide you in the right direction.
Thanks so much, Sam. Well, how about that? That's a wrap for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors once again, as usual, Daylight by Market Circle, Spotlight Branding, and Ruby, as in Ruby Receptionist. If you have a chance, swing on by our website at www.lawentrepreneur.com. You can check out a bunch of information and resources there. And if that doesn't satisfy your needs, swing on by our Facebook page or Twitter page. You can find those just by simply searching for The Law Entrepreneur. And if you'd be so kind, I would greatly appreciate it if you go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and an honest review. If you find this podcast is helpful and that you're getting value out of it, it does help with our visibility and ensures that we're going to be there for another 5 years or so, as this has been quite the run, and I'm greatly appreciative of your interest in The Law Entrepreneur.